Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to remember what you have said to us, and so that we all be encouraged, and help us to be a diligent student of you, that we work hard in our own school work, and also we work hard in memorizing your word. And I pray that may your word be the light to our path, a lamp to our feet, and guide us every day as we follow you. And I pray that you bless us. Tonight, as your servant explained your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit can enlighten each and every one of us. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know you better. We want to know you better. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I have asked Sally to memorize it, right? 1 to 10. Any boy want to try? Joshua, you want to try? No? Gabriel? No? Donald? Give a best shot. 1 to 10. Well, Donald, you got chapter 1, chapter 2, you finished chapter 2 also, right? Chapter 2 up to 10, right? You go up to chapter 2, 10, right? So 1 to 23. Okay, go for it. You have to speak louder because my ear is not too good. Do that again. In him we have redemption. Through his blood.
Forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace.
In accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will.
In order that
we who first in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And also praise to God.
No. No, the 13 is, and in him we have, and okay, no, we were, and you also were included in Christ. Who is
the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance?
Guaranteeing our inheritance? Until?
Until the redemption of all.
Of those?
Are in
who are God's possession?
With God's possession to praise his glory. Ever since I heard about the...
For this reason,
ever since I heard about your...
Your faith?
In
the Lord Jesus
Christ.
I keep asking
God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit.
Might give you
the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I also pray that so that
you may know Him.
So that you may know Him better. I pray that.
In order that you may know the hope to which
He
has called you. Yeah. Three things He prayed for that. Second thing, the riches
of His
glorious inheritance in the same. And the third thing, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power
is like the workings of His mighty strength, which He exerted on Christ when Jesus went raised.
Not only in the present,
but also in the one to come.
And God
puts all things under His feet and appointed Him head
over,
everything in the church.
For the church,
which is the body of Him
which is His body. Oh man, that's good. Good, give me five. You're a good boy. Very, very, very good. Okay, now we only go for four verses. 11 to 14. When you study the Paul epistle, make sure you pay attention to the pronouns like we, you, and they. We is definitely the one who not only saved by God, and they are the same. They are good ones. You, not yet reached up to we, has a lot of work to do. They are the unbeliever. You understand? So more or less say, we is the disciple. You, probably a believer. They is the unbeliever. Okay? Pay attention to these kind of pronouns. And with this understanding, then go to verse 11. In Jesus Christ, we will make heir. Circle the word, having been predestined. Do you remember? In verse 4, right? In Him, He predestined us to be adopted as His son, right? God predestined us to be adopted as His son in according with His pleasure and will. Okay? And that's why Paul say to the praise of his glorious grace, being called the Son of God through adoption is a glorious grace. God not only give us the sonship, adoption of sonship, God also give us the glorious inheritance. Not only the glorious adoption of sonship. You write that down? Glorious adoption of sonship. He also gives us the glorious inheritance. His name is the glorious Father. The glorious Father gives us the glorious adoption of sonship and gives us glorious inheritance. So we give thanks to God. So that's why let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 5, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It is his glory to give us adoption of sonship. It is his glory to give us his inheritance. His inheritance is a glorious inheritance. Okay? If he didn't make known his will to us, we don't know that. Nowadays, a lot of Christians, listen to me carefully. Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they only know that believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. But that's not what Paul say. Okay? What Paul say is, you not only have eternal life to have the adoption of sonship. Jesus Christ live forever and ever. If you are adopted to be his son, you're going to live forever and ever. He not only give you eternal life. He has a strong desire to give you his inheritance. Okay? You understand? So that's why in verse 11, the key word is in him. In him, you are his disciple. In him, we will make heir. He didn't say, you will make heir. He said, in him, you will make heir. I want you to tell you something, okay? Circle the word heir. So you have to circle right at the footnotes there, okay? We will make heir. Footnotes in verse 11. You see the footnotes, NIV footnotes? Do you see that, Hannah? Verse 11, in him we were also chosen. Take the word chosen out. We will make heir, okay? Hannah, do you get it? Moses, do you get it? Yeah. Hannah, do you get it?
No, I don't have it.
What do you mean you don't have it? What kind of Bible you have?
Oh, no, it's here.
Oh, come on.
It's just like on the front page.
Okay. Verse 11, in him we will make heir. He didn't say you will make heir. He said we will make heir. Okay? Donald, could you tell me why I'm saying what's the difference between you and me?
We are the same.
Are the same. Yeah, okay. You? So we have to work trust to be the same, right? What happened if we don't work trust that? What happened? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Some people, when they see Jesus Christ, some see him with the empty handed. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10 to verse 15. I want you to read that. Could you read it for me? Yeah.
15.
Chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. Could you read it?
Yeah. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can he lay any foundation.
Okay, slowly. Read it carefully, please. What? 13?
His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will have to call each member. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, his reward will be. He will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame.
Okay. Jennifer, could you read that loudly? Okay. Okay. When I ask the other person to read it, you better pay attention, okay? Okay, go ahead. So what kind of picture that Paul described in here? After we become a Christian, after we believe in Jesus Christ, Gabriel, based upon verse 10 to verse 15, what did he say? Do we have to build a building on top of the foundation that Paul, as a master builder, has laid the foundation? Who is the foundation of our work? Jesus Christ? Okay. Okay, Jesus Christ is our foundation. Paul is a master builder. Paul laid the foundation. He's a preacher. He shared the gospel to us. He laid the foundation. And then after Paul laid the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all have to build upon this foundation, right? You can use wood, hay, or straw, or you can use silver, gold, diamond. It's up to you. You are the one who make a decision. We are all building it. We all go to the church. We all do something. Okay? Some people using wood, hay, or straw. Some people use diamond, silver, and gold, right? What happened to those who using lower grade of material? And when it goes through fire, fire is the judgment. When it goes through fire, then what happened, Daniel? Junior? What happened if you use wood, hay, or straw to build upon this foundation? When it goes through fire, will it be burned down? It will be burned down. When it burned down, then what happened? Based upon what Paul's saying. So what does it mean? So what does it mean? Moses? No, I mean, verse 15, what does it mean? If it is burned up, what you have done is all burned up. He will suffer loss, and he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. What does it mean? He suffer loss. What kind of loss did he suffer? Anyone know the answer? Daniel, you know the answer? That's the key point.
One's your everlasting life, right? So you still have that, but you lose your inheritance.
You lose your inheritance. Moses, write that down there. 1:11. In him, we will make heir. It is his desire, because you are his son. You're supposed to inherit the inheritance, because you will make heir. You're supposed to receive the glorious inheritance. How do I receive the glorious inheritance? Do you remember you go to the church, listen to the pastor talking about the parable? You remember that if you bear fruit, Jesus Christ gives you spiritual gifts, give you talent, and you use the talent to bring people to Christ. You use the talent to build a church. Romans 8:17.
Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Now listen to me carefully. Verse 17. If we are children, then we are heir. It's very natural. If you are not adopted to be his son, forget it, you get nothing. Don't tell me about inheritance, you get nothing. Sip. Okay? But now I'm talking to those who are believers of Jesus Christ. Having believed in Jesus Christ, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the same moment the Holy Spirit entered into your body. That Holy Spirit, based upon Romans 8:16, that Holy Spirit, together with your own spirit, testify to you that you are not a slave. You are the Son of God. Since you are children of God, you are heir of God. Does it make sense? What's the proof that I am God's child? If you do not have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you are not God's child. You have to have the Holy Spirit within your heart. That's the proof, according to Romans 8:16. The proof that you are God's child. The Spirit the Holy Spirit together with your own spirit testify that you are God's child. Right? So that's why those non-believers, if you ask them, where would you go when you die? He say, I don't know. But those believers who has the Holy Spirit within their heart, the Holy Spirit will tell them, you go to heaven because you are son of God. If you truly have the Holy Spirit within your heart, the Holy Spirit will move you to study the Bible. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to play computer game. No way. Okay? The Holy Spirit in verse 16, Romans chapter 8, let us all read together. The Spirit together with our spirit testify that we are God's child. Read it together, okay? 8:16. The Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 17. And if we are children, then we are heir of God, co-heir with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. What kind of glory he talk about? What kind of glory he talk about in verse 17? Is this the glorious inheritance he talk about? Same as in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him, you will make heir. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In him, in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. And verse 11, in him you will make heir. You will make heir is after what? After you become his son. So that's why in him we will make heir, having been predestined of what? You write down 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. Do you get that? So I read that to you again. If I put verse 5 into verse 11, listen to me. In him we will make heir, having been predestined to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. Gabriel, could you read that to me? What did I just say?
In him we were made heirs, having been predestined to be adopted as his son.
That's good. Wesley, could you read that to me? Are you kidding? Oh, man. Daniel, could you read that to me?
In him we were made heirs, having been predestined according to the plan of Jesus Christ.
No, that's not what I say. Christopher, what did I just say? Next time, all of you separate each other, okay? I don't want all of you to sit together, okay? You got that? Take a look at the whiteboard, okay? Verse 11. I put two Bible verses together. First is verse 5, then is verse 11. What's the problem, Moses?
No, I get this part. I just don't get the part that he said, like where 1 Corinthians 3...
1 Corinthians 3 what?
3:10.
You haven't... Okay, I'm sorry. I will get back.
Okay.
I will go back to that, okay?
Yeah.
I will go back to that. That's good. Listen to me carefully, okay? I don't want you guys just memorize the Bible verses without understanding it. That is a hypocrite. I want you to memorize it and you know what you understand. Before you get up, the Lord will speak to you while you're lying on the bed. Every morning, the Lord speaks to me through the word that I memorize. Okay? So that you can have a fellowship with God. You understand? That's why I'm explaining it. That's why you have to write it down in your Bible. And it helps you to memorize it. When Paul writes it down, he writes it down in sequence, step by step. Verse 5 talk about sonship. Verse 11 talk about inheritance. Which one come first? Sonship come first, then come the inheritance. If you are not God's son, don't tell me you're going to inherit anything. You get nothing. You go to hell. Does that make sense? Now, we're talking about we. We is the preacher, Paul, Timothy, Peter, John, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these kind of saints. They not only belong to God, they are children of God. They're God's children. And they inherit God's inheritance. They are the ones that experience the blessing already. Because God has already chosen to bless us. He has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Right? If you are in Christ, you are God's son. If you are in Christ, you inherit in his inheritance. We will make heir to inherit God's inheritance. You understand? First come verse 5, then verse 11. Does that make sense? And then you write that down. Write that down right beside the Bible. You know, in your Bible, you have a lot of empty space, right? I show you how to write it down. One 5, one 11. You write one word in 1:5. Sonship. You write that down. Right in the empty space. In first chapter, there's a lot of empty space there. You write that down. 1:5. Right, sonship. Sonship go first. And then inheritance go second. And then you make a bracket like that. Okay? You make a bracket like that. You write down 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. You write down Roman 8:17. Do you see the 8:17 here? Take a look. 8:17, Paul say, now if you are the children of God, then you are heir of God. Does that make sense? Right? In 8:17, the whole thing is in one verse. But in Ephesians, they explain it to you. They pull it apart. You understand? So that's why, 1:5, in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his son in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Sonship is a gift of God. He gave it to us. Sonship is not from yourself. You don't purchase it. He freely given it to you. You understand? Secondly, inheritance. He also gave it to you, but you have to exchange it. You have to give him something too, and he's going to give you something, the inheritance. Because you are sonship, because you are God's child, then you are heir, heir of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ. And what's the condition? The condition is, if you share in Jesus Christ's suffering, if you are willing to carry the cross, if you're willing to follow him, you're going to share his glory. That is the inheritance. Does it make sense? Now, I go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 15. Here is the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And then on top of that foundation, we're going to build our own house. We are all building it, but we are all using different kind of material. Fire stands for the judgment of God. Each and every one of us has to go through judgment. As far as Christian is concerned, when we go through judgment, it is not a matter of life and death. You're already alive already. He made you alive. You understand? Chapter 2, verse 5. Because of his great love towards us, even when you were dead in transgression, Jesus Christ made you alive already. God made you alive already with Christ. You understand? So, when we face the judgment seat of Christ, it is not a matter of life and death. It is a matter of what? Whether you be rewarded or you're not rewarded. And I know very well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, some people will be empty-handed. But I pray, those who come to this church, we are all working towards that goal. I pray that we're not going to see Jesus Christ empty-handed. If I have the intention to see Jesus Christ empty-handed, I won't come here. I won't even memorize the Bible verses. I have hope. That's why in verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, what kind of hope are we talking about? Eternal life, I have already had it. I don't need to hope for it. But inheritance, I haven't had it yet. That's why I'm hoping to get it. Do you understand? In verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Once I get his glorious inheritance, I'm going to praise him. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving me such a blessing. You understand? Do you understand? Gabriel, do you understand? You tell me, what do you understand?
But the fact that through fire we have judgment, and that judgment will determine whether or not we'll have any rewards coming out of it or not.
So, could you put it in a practical term that so that we all can understand what do we have to do in order to inherit the inheritance? Could any one of you give me the example of the Old Testament figure who come to see God empty-handed? Do you know? What's his name? The guy? The guy.
The guy with the goat?
What guy are you talking about? Don't you know his name? The one who buried his talent?
Yeah, and he didn't make anything extra.
And you're telling me he go to heaven? Oh, you must be dreaming, you know. I explained that in the Bible. Oh, man, Joshua, the guy. Probably that guy is Joshua. Oh, man, that guy. That guy is Joshua. Go. Turn back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. Oh, man, you tried to scare me, Joshua. That guy. Matthew chapter 25. Could you read that to me? Chapter 25, verse 28 and all the way to 30. Are you talking to that guy? Matthew 25, 28 to 30. Read it now.
Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness with every weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, are you telling me that guy can go to heaven? No, are you telling me that guy can go to heaven?
No.
Are you trying to scare me?
No, but your question was who came empty-handed.
That guy's not only empty-handed, that guy go to hell, man.
Oh, I see.
No, you go and read that.
No, the question was
you don't see that.
Unclear.
I want you to read that. 28, 29 to 30. Matthew 28, Matthew 25. No, I want you to read your own Bible, okay? Don't read
it. I have too many pages open. I don't want to mess it up. I'm still trying to digest this part here.
Man.
Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Will I be able to see that servant
in
heaven?
No.
He go to hell in darkness.
Yeah.
Are you talking about that guy?
No.
Or talking about you?
I'm talking about that guy. Some other guy.
Which other guy? That guy. 25, 28 to 31. At 28 to 30, that guy go to hell. If you refuse to serve God, hide your talent, he's not a believer. He don't even build anything. I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, is the one who is building something. He's serving. But he's serving not with precious material. He served God with what? Material. He did serve, right? But that guy did not even serve. Can you see a difference now?
Yeah.
Joshua, are you trying to scare me? You want to make me heart attack or what?
I misunderstood your question.
Me too. I think your question was unclear.
The question is what?
Your question was unclear.
It is what?
Was unclear.
Was unclear?
There's no way two smart guys could have misunderstood your question. There's no way.
Who's the guy?
Who's the Lord? Who is the guy?
Yeah.
The guy is Lord.
I don't know.
Lord? Lord did not follow Abraham. He built his own life. When he left the place, he lost his wife. And later on, he lost two of his daughters too. It's a disaster. Was he saved? Yes, he was saved. That's really bad. That guy is called Lord. Not Matthew 25, 28 to 30, that guy. No, Joshua, that guy is go to heaven or go to hell?
Hell.
Because there's no darkness in heaven.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Brother and sister, I want to remind you, if God give you the gifts, give you the spiritual gifts, you do not hide that. You hide that, you don't serve, you go to hell. Don't ever do that. You understand? Use whatever God give it to you to serve God. 1 Corinthians talk about chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, talk about the two kind of worker. One serve God with precious material, right? One serve God with cheap material. But he's still serving. He's still serving. He's a believer. He's building a house too. On top of that, he's still building on the same foundation. You understand? Jesus Christ. You understand? We all have to serve God, right? But just that some people serve God with precious material. Spend a lot of time, a lot of energy. Okay? And in return, God's going to give you glorious inheritance. What's your question then?
What does he mean? Like,
yeah, because it says here, if you will be burned up, he will suffer loss. Okay?
Yeah.
So that means you won't get the inheritance, right?
Yeah.
But he himself will be saved only as escaping through the flames.
Yeah.
So you're still saved. You still get eternal life.
Yeah,
so
but he's empty-handed.
Empty-handed with?
With nothing. To go to heaven. With nothing. Then I'm governing you. Then you serve me then. You're going to serve me forever.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Empty-handed, I get it. Okay.
Because not just in the heavenly realm, not just in the heavenly places. In the earthly places, if you don't work hard, you get a lousy job, you're going to serve your boss. It's that simple. I don't want to serve, and then, I want to serve God with the expectation that I'm going to get a blessing. So that's why Paul write this letter, the book of Ephesians, to each and every one of us. Now that we are sonship, we are God's son. We want to make sure that we are God's heirs. We're going to inherit his inheritance. And so that's why in verse 11, Paul said, in Jesus Christ we will make heir. Having been predestined, you write that down, having been predestined, predestined what? Predestined of sonship. Having been predestined of sonship. Okay? Verse 5. Do you understand the English grammar? Having been. In other words, having been predestined, go first. Now that you are sonship, now you are God's son, then you will make heir. And doing so is according to the plan of him. That is his plan. He not only wants you to be his son, he wants you to inherit your Lord, your portion, your blessing. Okay? According to the plan of him, that is his plan. And then who's going to work out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Let's say, okay, I heard some people saying to me, oh, you know what? I just want to have eternal life. I don't care what I get in heaven. You know what? You listen to me carefully. You circle this word in here. Who works out everything, circle this one. In conformity with his, with the purpose of his will, you circle this word, you write down Romans 8:28. He's going to make you suffer so much that you're going to turn around and you're going to do it. You write down Romans 8:28-30. He's going to make you suffer so much. In the end, you're going to come back. And you're going to get the blessing. For we know that. Could someone read that? 8:28-30? Michael, could you read it? 8:28-30? Michael, when I ask you to read, you read out loud, okay?
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
So the last verse, in verse 30, those he called, he also justified. Justify means he give you eternal life. He adopt you to be his son. Though he justify, he also what? Glorify. What does it mean, glorify? Moses, in the context of what we are talking about today. Glorious inheritance. You know what? Let's say if you don't say, I don't want it. He going to discipline you so much that you're going to come back, you're going to get it. But you know what? Let's say if he didn't discipline you, and very likely, you are not even his son. I have never seen his children that loved by God will never be disciplined by Heavenly Father. You remember I talk about the person called Lord? Did he get discipline? Did he get discipline? Before the final judgment? Daniel? Where? What did he get discipline? What kind of discipline did he get? This is the final one. No, he wasn't blind. I want you to go home and study the Genesis chapter 14. It's the first judgment that God inflicted on him that he didn't even know. Genesis chapter 14. He lost all his property. He lost his wife. He lost his children in the battle. Because there's a battle between five kings and four kings. And four kings conquer the five kings. The five kings is included in the Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was captured. And Abraham knew about that. And Abraham sent forth his servant, 318 servants, to fight the battle and bring Lot back. Did he change? He didn't change. He's still the same. He didn't know that. He didn't know that that's the discipline from the Lord. And then in Genesis chapter 18, then the Lord judged him. Send fire. Okay? From heaven. And everything that he worked for all his life was burned up in vain. Then he cannot bring it and in exchange for the glory of God, for the glorious inheritance. Okay? You know what? If you guys don't even bother to read the Bible, you won't understand that much in here. You don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a foreign language to you. It is a foreign language to you. I encourage you, read that, so that you know what you believe. If Lord stick with Abraham, not because of the wealth that he accumulate in Genesis chapter 12, that when Abraham and Lord go down to Egypt, both of them get rich. Once they get rich, they have a lot of flock and herbs, and the land is limited. They fight among each other. And Abraham say, if you go to the east, I go to the south. I go to the west. You go to the north, I go to the south. You pick and choose. And Lord pick and choose the fertile land. And then gradually, he heading into Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's heading to destruction. Because he loved the world. He followed the way of the world. Chapter 2 of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins. And all of us live among them, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its thoughts and following its desire and thoughts. And God make us alive in Christ. He rescued us. But if we go back to that, we follow the pattern of Lot. God rescued him through Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. He said, wow, now I get my life back. Abraham, can I follow you back? I don't like that place. That's no good. But he didn't. He keep going. And in the end, he's going to come and see Jesus Christ empty-handed. And I can guarantee you, a lot of the second-generation Christians are like that. A lot. Because they don't read the scripture. They follow the pattern of this world. You understand? When you talk about this world, they know a lot. You talk about the Bible, they know nothing. They say, the guy who go to heaven, you know, the guy who get empty-handed, get kicked out. The guy, he's not in heaven. The guy go to hell. Do you understand? Oh, man. Look like I'm wasting my time. That means when I preach in the West Side, you guys don't even understand. Do you remember what I just say? We, you, and they. Matthew 25, 28 to 30, that guy, go to hell. You, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 15, that guy, are saved, but no inheritance. We, the same, not only saved, have eternal life, have glorious inheritance. You make a choice, man. Don't just go to a church. You know, every Sunday go to the church. If I hear the sermon, I understand good. I don't understand, it's okay too. Then you end up going to hell. Because if you don't understand, you think you are saved. When Paul talk about we, are you including me? No. He say, in him. Are you in him? Are you in Christ? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you follow Jesus Christ? Are you building his church? You go to the church every Sunday, you worship. Did you build the church? Did you serve the church? Serve Jesus Christ with the pastor? Bring people to Christ. Do you grow into maturity? Do you understand which guy go to hell, which guy go to heaven, which guy get the blessing? And Joshua don't even know. Do you need to repent or not? Eh? Joshua?
Are you trying
to comfort me?
No, I have already
broken heart. Right? You know, just like clay has been broken, shattered already.
No, I'm just telling you the truth because you focus on one thing and then you don't listen when we tell you it was a misunderstanding of the question. And then you just keep going on and on about it. And then you're going to talk about it for the next 4 weeks and it's all based on a miscommunication and misunderstanding. So I just want to straighten that out so it's not talked about for like the next...
So are you, is the we, or are you, is the they?
I'm working towards the we.
Okay, that's good. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you help us. Word, trust, the we. Because we, not only your son, we want to inherit your inheritance. Because in Jesus Christ we were made heir, having been predestined to be adopted as your son. And you predestined us to follow Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. Help us not just go to the church to worship you, and help us to go to the church to serve you. Help us not to be lazy. Help us to understand your will. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.